First John chapter 3 and verse number 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We just sang, I live because he's risen. I live with power over sin. The reason that Jesus Christ came, the reason he was manifested, that means to be revealed plainly or to be shown plainly, the reason that God did that was to destroy the works of the devil. Now, as many of you as believe that God is able to do that which he sets out to, how many of you believe that when Jesus was manifested, that because of his manifestation, that he has destroyed the power of the devil? Say amen if you do.
Amen.
That's why he came. And bless God, he did it. He did destroy the power of the devil. Now, he didn't destroy the devil's power when he walked on the Sea of Galilee. He didn't destroy the devil's power when he healed the blind man, although he destroyed a portion of it. He didn't destroy the power of the devil when he fed the 5,000. He didn't destroy the power of the devil when he raised the widow's son at Nain. He didn't destroy the power of the devil when Lazarus came out of the grave, although he was demonstrating that he had the capacity to do so. In the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, the apostle tells us when and how Jesus destroyed the devil's power. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's us, inasmuch as we are human beings of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise, that is Jesus, took part of the same. In other words, he became like we are. Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Do you know how the devil's power was destroyed? It was destroyed when Jesus was dead and when he was buried and when he took your sins and my sins upon him and he took them into the grave and he buried them there. It's when he went into the pits of hell and he took the devil by his scraggly neck and shook him and threw him down a limp, raggedy, and dull with no longer any weapons, no longer any power, no longer any ability. He's destroyed. He's destroyed. He's destroyed. Bless God. It's done. It is finished. It is all done. The apostle said that the devil had the power of death. Bless God, he doesn't have it anymore. And I want to put him in remembrance of something right now because there are some of you who are here this morning that don't know that yet and haven't appropriated it yet. Now I want you to close your eyes because this does not really concern you. It concerns the devil. And we want to do something with him right now. I want you to close your eyes. Now, devil, I want you to take a look at this. It represents the blood of Jesus. I want you to see it. I want you to remember how it ran down from the cross. I want you to remember that it's the perfect blood of God. It's the perfect sacrifice of the unblemished Lamb of God. I want you to remember what he did for us. He shed his blood for us, and we no longer live under your dominion. Now, as you focus your eyes on that which represents the blood of the Lord Jesus, I tell you that we are the body of Jesus Christ. And I tell you that you are to release every one of God's children this morning in the name of Jesus. You be gone from this place and be gone from these lives in Jesus' name. You set them free from oppression. You set them free from worry. You set them free from care. You set them free from habit. You set them free from unbelief. In the name of Jesus, be thou departed from here.
Confinando.
This is something that we need to learn to recognize, each of us individually. We are the body of Jesus Christ in the earth. He destroyed the power of the devil, but we must take that authority and possess the land that God's given us. We must walk in victory. The Christian life is a life. It's a walk. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living. It's a way of joy and of peace. It's a way of victory. Yes, it's a way of trying too. But it's peace and joy in the midst of the storm. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I don't know what your problems are here today, but I do know that there is no power that is in here that's greater than the power to set you free. And that's the power of God. God's word says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Let me hear you say, greater is the power. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. All right, now let's say it a little differently. I want you to say, listen to me first. Greater is the Jesus in me than the devil that's in the world. Greater is the Jesus in me than the devil that's in the world. Again, please. Greater is the Jesus in me than the devil that's in the world. Now listen to that, beloved. Listen to what you're saying. Jesus Christ of Nazareth lives inside you if you've been born again. He lives in you, not some imitator, the one and the same one, Jesus of Nazareth. Now let me say that if he went into the devil's lair, and if Satan was there himself, and all of his most powerful allies, and they were not strong enough to hold him down, then do you think that the devil has enough power to bring against you to put you down? No, not if Jesus lives in you. Greater is the Jesus in us than the devil who's in the world. He can't do it. I don't care what he says. He's a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. He's the father of all lies, and there's absolutely no truth in him. This right here, this right here is God's way of showing us that we live in victory, bless God. That we're not bowed under the power of sin anymore. He's alive. He was dead, yes, but he's alive. We live. We have power over sin. We have power over the devil. Now, you release Those of you who are here today that are not completely free, you release whatever is holding you. Release it. Let it go to God. And don't hang on to it. In the 8th Psalm, we sang a little bit out of the 8th Psalm, but there's another verse in the 8th Psalm that I think is important for us this morning. Glory to God. It's so strong in me today. I mean, this truth here that God wants us to see. It's so strong. It's like a book. You ever seen a pressure cooker? And you have to do one of two things with a pressure cooker. You either have to release the petcock, which will let off the steam, or the cooker will blow up. And so what we're going to do is release the steam a little bit. Verse number 2 in Psalm 8. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now in the 21st chapter of Matthew's gospel, the 16th verse, Jesus quoted that. And he said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Praise is the strength of God's people. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. God has ordained that we should be a praising people. He has established in us the capacity to praise and to rejoice and to give thanks and to worship in celebration, because that is the very thing. Look at verse 2 there. That because of your enemies, God's done this, that thou mightest still, in other words, silence the enemy and the avenger. If you want to silence the voice of the devil in your mind, if there's heaviness and oppression and worry and that kind of thing that's bothering you this day, and you're a Christian, and you know Jesus is your Savior, you've come into the church and you don't know something is not just quite right. You're just not quite at liberty. You don't have the freedom that you know that you're supposed to have. You know something's wrong, but you don't know what it is. I'll tell you what you do. You do what God's Word says. God has ordained praise for you. He's given that to you as a weapon. And so you jerk your praise weapon out, and you begin to wield it like this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the first thing you know, your enemy will beat a hasty retreat 7 ways. Now that's the way God's done it. That's why when we come together here, that's why we praise the Lord first, you see. That's why we do that, because that's our weapons, you see. That's our weapons to drive off the enemy, to still his voice, and to free us so God can minister to us. Now God wants us to walk like that all the time. Unfortunately, he knows that many believers don't walk in praise all the time. And so he gives us opportunity to come together like this. That's why he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Don't stay away. Get where God's people are so that you can worship him and you can praise him, because it's necessary for your spiritual health. It's not necessary for the support of the church. It's necessary for your own spiritual health. God's established that. And it's just the same thing as for you to have rats in your house and have rat poison in your closet and just leave your rat poison in the closet, and the rats will eat you out of house and home. And it's the same way in your Christian life. You can have Jesus in your life, but if you won't use the weapons and put on the armor of God, as the sister spoke this morning under the anointing, if you won't put the armor of God on, it's just like leaving your rat poison in the closet, and the enemy comes, just rip you off. You go to church and everybody has a wonderful time, and you walk out with your dauber dragon the same as you came in. Now the way to get free from that is to worship God, praise God, jump up and down for goodness sake. I'm not going to throw you out of the church. Now you be careful where you do that. But you can do it here. Shout hallelujah one time, it'll do you good. And shout hallelujah twice, it'll do you twice as much good. And let your praise go. Worship God. Let him know that you're excited about him. Someone gave you a ticket for the Super Bowl, you would sure cut loose, wouldn't you? Huh? Oh, you'd let everybody in the whole world know what a goofball you were for the Steelers or whoever was playing. See? You know, the Steelers going to come and go. But Jesus Christ is forever. He's the beginning and he's the end. I tell you, if you can't jump up and down for him, if you can't shout hallelujah for him, if you can't clap for him, if you can't let your whistle go for him, then ain't anybody else in this world that's worthy Nobody else. If he's not, nobody is. I don't care what they've done. I don't care how many touchdowns they've scored. I don't care how many home runs they've made. I don't care how many championships they've won. There's only one true champion. He is the champion of eternity, and he is the captain and the champion of our salvation, and his name is Jesus Christ. He has never lost a battle, and nor will he ever lose a battle. And this right here is the evidence that he won't. You can join his team, get your uniform on, and be a winner every day. Not once in a while, every blessed day. That's the way God wants us to live. Bless God, I'm going to live that way. I'm going to do all I can to help you live that way. You help me and I'll help you. And we'll live that victorious life in Christ Jesus. And the people in this community will look around and say, what is it with you people? What is it? Say, well, come and see. Come and see. See? Come and see. And they come and say, for about five minutes, they'll be aghast. And they'll be stoned. Is that right? Those of you, first time you came, took you 5-10 minutes or so. Sure glad church only lasts an hour. We're going to get out. We'll be out of here soon. Famous last words. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. And forget not all his benefits, because he forgives all of thy sins and he healeth all of thine iniquities, all of them. Bless God. And it usually takes longer than an hour to get that all done. Because lots of sins and lots of iniquities, lots of diseases he's taken care of. No, seriously. Seriously. I'm happy to know Jesus. Aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's do what he told us to do, huh? Let me read for you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. These are the words of Paul in his letter to the church. First Corinthians chapter 11, beginning to read at the 23rd verse. Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Now, I should say to you today that according to the instructions that we are given in God's word, this supper is meant for those who are part of the family of God. This is the Lord's table. It's not the table of the Water of Life Christian Center. It is not restricted to members of Water of Life. It is the table of the Lord, and it is restricted only to those who are part of his family. If you have been born again, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, whether you are a member of any church or not, if you are part of the family of God by being born again in Christ Jesus, then he invites you to come and partake of this supper. It's for you. John the Apostle said, "As many as received Jesus, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." That power wasn't given to an individual church. It wasn't given to a denomination. It was given to us individually as we receive Jesus Christ. And so if you are saved, we invite you in His name to come and partake of the table today. If you are not, I ask you, please, for your own sake, do not partake of this table. This is not its bread and its juice in the natural, but it has spiritual significance. Paul said to the Corinthians that if we eat or drink it unworthily, not knowing what we're doing, or knowing what we're doing and doing it wrong anyway, that we drink damnation upon ourselves because we have not recognized what this represents. Those of you who have young children, if your child is born again, if you know your child has been saved, and if your child understands what we are doing here, then you feel free to lead your child and permit him or her to receive the Lord's Supper. If your child is not saved, they're going to want the bread and the juice anyway because everybody else is, but you must instruct them, no, because they're not prepared for it yet and they're not ready for it yet, and it can do them harm. You children that are listening to me, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and are not sure what we're doing here, then please do you not partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, if you're not saved today, but you want to be saved, you want to partake of this supper, but you want to receive Christ as your Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Now, it takes about long as it'll take us to say a little prayer here. The Bible says that if you believe that Jesus Christ is alive, if you believe that God raised him from the dead, if you believe that he's alive today, and you confess him as the Lord of your life, you will be saved. That's all there is to it. Now, I must warn you, or give you some advertising, maybe is what I should say, you'll get a changed life. If you receive Jesus, you won't go out of here the same as the way you came in. Bless God, you won't. I praise God for every day. I haven't been like I used to be. And so if you want to receive Jesus, you just pray with me here and now. Now just close your eyes. Everybody in the congregation, you can just pray this quietly to yourself as I pray. You just follow me to yourself. And if this is the desire of your heart, you can be saved this morning. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son. You just pray that with me and to yourself, just to yourself. If this is what you believe, you just pray this to yourself. I believe Jesus is your Son. I believe he died for me. And I believe he bore my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead. And I believe that he's living today. I ask you, Father, for forgiveness and for cleansing of all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and as the Lord of my life. Jesus, I invite you personally to come into my heart to save me and to be Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I believe that you have saved me. I believe that you have moved into my heart. I believe that you live there now. I believe I've been born again. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now, everyone else, as your heads are continued to be bowed and your eyes closed, would you just spend a moment in allowing the Holy Spirit to search you and ask the Spirit of God in these moments to shine His light in every area of your life and see if there be any wicked way in you, anything that would hinder you in receiving the fullness of the sacrament. And if there is, if he shows you what it is, there is anything there, and you just ask him for his cleansing. He says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The purpose for repentance is cleansing and forgiveness. Father, we thank you for your promise that in your sight we are clean, that in your sight we stand as clean as if we had never sinned in Christ Jesus. We thank you, our Father, that you have removed from us the consciousness of constant sin and have developed in us rather a consciousness of holiness. But we thank you, Father, for the fact that while you desire that we do not sin and have instructed us not to sin, that if we do, that we have an advocate at your right hand, Jesus Christ the righteous, who was made propitiation for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. And so we thank you, Father, for the assurance today that when we confess to you our slips, then we remove the devil's means of condemnation and he can no longer put us down because of them. Because we have your assurance that we've been cleansed and we've been forgiven and that fellowship has been restored. I thank you, Father, for your promise that any person who is here this morning, any believer who has had broken fellowship with you because of sin, is now restored as they have opened up the channel through repentance and forgiveness. And fellowship now is opened up once again between a loving Heavenly Father and a precious blood-washed child. Now, Father, we ask you to set these elements apart from the common use to which they are normally put to the special significance of this celebration of the Last Supper of the Lord. We pray, Father, that you would help us to rightly discern the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that unless we eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, that we have no part in him. And by partaking of this supper today, we declare our partaking of his body, of his flesh, and of his blood. That we have been made one with him in the flesh as well as in the spirit. That we truly are as he is, so are we now in every respect. Glory to God. What a wonderful, wonderful truth, Father. What a precious revelation. And cause that, Lord, to be rich and full for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Going to ask as we partake of the supper today, that as the elements are passed, if you please would just hold the elements as they come. And then after everybody has been served, and as the elders have gathered once again around the supper table, and I've had an opportunity to serve them, then we will all partake together of the bread and then in the same way the cup. The elders, would you come now, please? He took the bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. Take it and eat it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. He said, this is the cup after he had supped. He said, this is my blood, which is given as the New Testament, a covenant which I make for the remission of sins for many. Drink ye all of it. Father, we thank you for this celebration. We thank you, Father, for this wonderful sacrament, and we thank you that you had it to be instituted, that the church should observe it regularly to remember the sacrifice of our Savior, to lift Jesus higher, to exalt and magnify him, that would give your Spirit opportunity to draw other men unto him. We give you our thanks, Father, by giving you our lives. We give you, Father, our love, not in word only, but also in deed. And we say unto you, Father, that inasmuch as you have given your own Son for us, that we give ourselves for others, that we lay down our lives for others, Father, that we show our love for you and for one another by laying down our lives one for another, denying ourselves for the benefit of another person. We thank you, Father, for the example of Jesus and for the power of your Spirit that gives us the capacity to do that and to follow after him. For he said that unless we lay down, take up our cross every day and deny ourselves, that we cannot be his disciples. But we know that we can by the power of your indwelling Holy Spirit. For with men these things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. So we know that we can do exactly as you said that we must. And we give you the right today, Father, to take us and to use us and to live the life of Christ through us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
I'm not afraid.
Hallelujah. Just stand and give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.